Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Just have one more Sunday that
these eyes have never seen, to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah, this morning. We praise him because truly he is a good God. Let us pray.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. And, oh God, we come this morning with grateful hearts and hearts of thanksgiving and praise, Father, as we open our eyes this morning. By your grace and your mercy, Father, we were able to see the bright sunshine and breathe your air one more time. Father, just to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this is the day that thou hast made.
Yeah.
And we will rejoice in it and be glad, because truly thou hast been mighty good unto us. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, O God, because your hand of mercy protected us all night long. You allowed no hurt, harm, or danger to come to us or come to our dwellings, come to our families, O God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your hand of protection. We thank you for grace that touched us, O God. Not that we deserve
Lord.
It, Father, but because you are faithful and you are true to your word. So we thank you this morning, Heavenly Father. And Father God, before we go any further, we just ask that if you would look on our hearts this morning, Jesus, and if you see anything that's not pleasing, anything, oh God, that need to be fixed, anything that need to be washed in your blood and sanctified in your word, Jesus, we pray, Father, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father God, that you would have us to be that vessel that you need this morning for your glory and for your honor, Father, because we all have sinned and come short of your glory. But we thank you for grace this morning. We thank you, O God, because of you, Lord Jesus, we know that we have forgiveness. And Father God, we thank you for this confidence. We thank you, O God, because you shed your blood that we might have life and we might have life eternal and life more abundantly.
Yeah.
So we thank you this morning. We thank you for that abundant life this morning, O God, in spite of our aches and our pains, in spite of our trials and our tribulations. O God, we can look back and say, truly you've been faithful. Truly you've been good. Hallelujah, God.
Yeah.
We thank you, Father. Because you still have blessed us in spite of our mess, Lord Jesus. You still, Father God, has poured out your blessings upon us this morning. So we thank you again because of who you are and what you continue to be. And, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would look on this branch of Zion, oh God. Thank you, Father God, how you bring us Sunday after Sunday. Oh God, how you hold us together by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. And, Father God, we are grateful for the shepherd this morning that you placed here, oh God.
Lord.
And Father God, I pray that you continue to strengthen Pastor Kayson. Continue to build
Thank
him
you,
up
Lord.
Where he's torn down. Thank you, Father, that truly you brought him through the week. Truly you were faithful
Hallelujah.
Unto him. And, oh, God,
Hallelujah.
Not only you kept him, but you kept First Lady this morning, oh, God. We thank you, Father, for how you brought her through, Lord Jesus, how
thank
you
Lord.
Made a way out of nowhere. And you looked on the first family, oh, God. And we are grateful for that this morning, Father. And, Father God, we are grateful for the church, the Heart of God Baptist Church,
thank
oh,
you,
God.
Lord.
Each and every member that you placed here, oh, God. Father God, you placed them where you wanted them to be, Father.
Yeah.
And we are grateful this morning, Father. God, and I ask your blessing upon each and every member. You know what they need today, Father. Oh, God, bless them, Father. Bless their going out and their coming in, oh, God. Father God, some need a closer relationship.
Hello.
Some need a peace of mind. Some just need your saving grace a little bit more, Father. Some need to know, Lord Jesus, that you are that Father. You are that Mother. You are that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some need to have you, Lord Jesus, because they're going through a storm in their life, oh God. And I pray that you will deliver them through the storm. And then some, Lord Jesus, need a healing in their body, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Some of them have physical illness and mental illness, oh God. Some their financial challenges and moral challenges with the spouses, with the children, with the family members, oh God. And Father God, I'm praying this morning, Father, that through your preach word, oh God, that your people, oh God, will be healed and will be delivered, oh God. That your people this morning, oh God, will know that you are God. Oh, Father God, help us to be still and wait on you, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to exalt you, oh God, and to know that you're God and you have all power in your hand, Father, because what's impossible with man is just possible with you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. And we pray, Father, that you continue to anoint us from on high. Continue to move from heart to heart and breast to breast. Kindle us in your love. Keep us in your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us in your power, oh God, that we might be a people, oh God, that will be a witness unto you, Father God. We thank you this morning, Father. And not only we pray for the heart of God, but we pray, oh God, for saints everywhere, for your church everywhere, oh God. We pray that you will strengthen, heal, and deliver. And, oh God, there are some that don't know you yet, Jesus. But you said in your word that you had other sheep that you were bringing into the fold, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're praying for their soul this morning, Father. Father, touch them, oh God. Nudge their hearts, oh God. Bring them in, Father, that they might know the power, your strength, and your healing virtue, that they might know your love, oh God. Bring them in, Father God. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you for every blessing. We thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for giving us your peace. And we thank you for fighting every battle. And, oh, God, we pray that you look on the sick everywhere throughout the land because we need you more than ever before. And, Father God, help us to turn from our wicked ways. Seek your face, oh, God. And, Father God, you promised us that you would heal our land. And truly, we need a healing in our land, throughout the world, oh, God. So help us to turn to you, Jesus, and to seek you this morning. And, Father God, we'll be so careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because truly, thou deserve it, oh, God. Because there's none like you. And we thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for these and all blessings. And we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you because of your loving kindness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It is your mercy, Lord Jesus, that endureth forever. And we thank you, Father, for these enduring mercies. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank Reverend Lindsay for that fervent prayer. Truly, just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. I'm going to say that one more time. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. I know there were times when folk praying for me, that they talked to the Lord on our behalf. That's when we were young and we didn't know the Lord. We didn't know the Lord like we should have known the Lord. Somebody on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Friday night or whatever day it was of the week, they lifted up our name to the Lord, and God answered that prayer. We ain't always been saved, amen. Some folk, amen, needed the prayers of the righteous, amen, to be able to keep them until we could come to know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, amen. And so we thank God for the prayers of the righteous that continue, amen, to talk to the Lord, amen, on our behalf. Call them intercessors that pray on our behalf until we can get right with the Lord, amen. And so I thank God for those who know the word of prayer and can get a prayer through, amen. We want to sing one of the oldies but goodies for Communion Sunday, amen. And that is hymn number 137. And it is entitled, There is Power in the Blood, amen. We're living in a day and time, amen, where everyone is power hungry, power crazy. But there's only one infinite power, and that's the power of God. And he has chosen to save us through the power of the blood of his son. And so we used to sing this on Sunday mornings in church when the church was gathered together on Communion Sunday, and We would sing various songs on Sunday. A lot of times we were dressed in our white in the springtime. We were dressed in our black in the summertime. Dressed in our black in the wintertime. And we would ask at our church on Sundays, communion Sundays, and everybody would dress and put a red tie on with the guys, and that everyone else would dress in their black or their white and black and white. And it was just a special time on communion Sunday, amen, where we would get together and we would do what God had left on record for us to do, and that was to remember his body and his blood and his sacrifice. And so we would sing this song, 137, and it's called There Is Power in the Blood, amen. And the verses are real short, but the chorus is real powerful. And as the church sang together those choruses of There's Power in the Blood, people would remember the days when they were saved, the days when they were baptized, the days when they were received Jesus as their Savior. And the church would be glad, and the church would go up in on one accord and in a sweet-smelling Savior unto the Lord. And we would sing praises to his name, that we realized and thanked him that there was power in the blood and that we were covered in the blood. And the first verse says, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil or victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. So I want you to just close your eyes this morning and think about, amen, that day that you were saved, that day that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that day that you were baptized, that day that God saved your soul, and just sing to the glory of God, there is power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing, Calvary's pie. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We thank God that there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank God today for the power in the blood, the power that's able to cleanse us, the power that's able to make us whole. And we thank God, amen, that there's a power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God today for truly, amen. We are grateful, amen, for knowing, amen, that he made the blood sacrifice, that he paid the price, that he made a way for us to be saved and brought back into the proper relationship and fellowship with him, that he made a way, that he did something that no one else could do. And it's through the power, the wonder working power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank God today for, amen, allowing us to be able to experience, amen, the blessings of God. So we're going to go to our worshipers this morning. Amen. You have a testimony this morning about the goodness of the Lord. We're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. Good morning.
Good morning, precious Lord. Thank you, Father. Waking up this morning to touch the day's eyes and open and then gives a second chance to stay above this ground, dear Father. When you wake up in the morning, you wake up and you know what the devil's going to be stepping inside you and walking with you every day. We said, thank you, Father, for putting the eyes and the limbs to put together and start the walking and looking. And you put the sun in our eyes and said, thank you, Jesus, for blessing us this morning, getting above this ground. In your blessed holy name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper, last four digits, 3598. 3598, good morning.
God bless, praise the Lord, for it's another day's journey that God has blessed us to see that we haven't seen before and shown up, won't see again. And we just thank him and praising God for just being God all by himself. When your mother and your father forsake, he said, then I will lift you up. And I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. Not my mama, not my father, nor my sister, hallelujah, nor my brother. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And that's why man always ought to pray and never faint. And we thank God for another day. And we thank him for just being God and God alone. And we're going to praise him and we're going to give him the highest praise. And that's hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our First Lady this morning. Good morning, First Lady. How are you this morning? First Lady, you with me? Sounds like you're on the phone, but I don't hear. We're going to try her a little bit later. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Truly, I thank God this morning for the opportunity just to be able to say thank you and to be able to serve and to be able to participate, amen, and the worship experience on this morning. For truly, God is good, and his mercy, yeah, it endures forever. I'm holding on, and I won't let go of my faith. For truly, my faith is in God, and I just thank God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. And I thank God for the strength that he provides every day to me. I thank him for his love. I thank him for his faithfulness. I thank God, mm-hmm, for his peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank God for truly he is faithful, and faithful, yeah, is our God. And so I thank God for my family, for my church family, my pastor and first lady, and for the Heart of God Baptist Church family, and those that are connected to this family, and those that are connected, mm-hmm, to the Heart of God Baptist Church family. I, mm-hmm, just want to say that we do love you at the Heart of God Baptist Church, and we thank you for tuning in on Sunday mornings, whichever way,
yeah,
or media or communication way you tune in to us. We are so appreciative, and we thank you for that, and we love you for that. And I just want to say that I thank God for just holding me and shielding me and just protecting me, because even in the midst, and I know some of us sometimes in the midnight hours, we're tossing, mm, and we're turning, and we're hurting, and we have aches and pains. But in spite of it all, in spite of what's going on in our families and our relationships in this world, God is still good and worthy to be praised. And so we give him honor, and we give him glory, and we give him praise on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in,
yeah,
it. And what an amazing and awesome God that we serve. And so I just thank God this morning for the opportunity just to be able to say thank you with the fruit of,
amen,
my lips, because with the fruit,
amen,
of my lips, I will praise him. And so I just thank God for all of you today. I send you God's blessings, and I send you my love, and I just thank each and every one of you for the many prayers and all the prayers and all of the cards and all of the texts, all of the things that you have done and given unto the Sykes family. It is not gone unnoticed. And I thank God for the love that has been extended not only to me, but to my pastor and my church family. And I just thank God for you. And so just have a blessed week. Have an awesome week. And I just thank God and love all of you. Have a blessed one.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. You know, go to our next one, last four digits, 7351. 7351, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kason, and good morning to First Lady and the Heart of God Family Church. I just want to say it's just a good thing to just be here today. Oh,
yeah.
I'm just enjoying this day. I woke up because of the Lord. He woke me up this morning in my good mind. And also in my case with my eyesight. So I praise the Lord, and I thank him for his grace and mercy. And I pray that we all keep the faith in the good Lord, because, you know, as I was telling a friend of mine in the hospital, we have good days and bad days. We have,
mm-hmm,
both. But we also know that when those bad days want to mess with us, we know where to turn. We know where to turn, and we just turn to the Lord and keep our faith in him and know that he's going to bring us out and around. So I tell you guys, just keep loving the Lord and trusting the Lord. And thank you for having me. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go back to our First Lady. First Lady, you are on the line this morning.
Good morning, everyone. First, give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to everyone here, on the line, on Facebook, whatever you may be doing, however you may be listening to the Heart of God. It's a blessing to have people tuning in all over. And to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will continue to do in our lives. Most of all, God has shown us every day that we wake up to see a new day. He has showed us his love. He has showed us his grace. And he has showed us his mercy. And I just thank the Lord for everything that he is doing in all of our lives, collectively and individually. And just keep on, keep your hands in the Master's hands, and he will guide you all the way. He never said the road would be easy, but he said that he would be there with you. And that's a blessing to know that he will be there with you always, regardless of what you may go through or what days, good days, bad days. All of them are good days, because every day above ground is a good day. And we thank the Lord for that. So I just love you all. I pray that you all have a blessed week to come. And I'm sending out air hugs and kisses. And I love you much. Have a blessed week.
Man, thank you, First Lady. We go to our next worshiper, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good morning.
Good morning. Praise God. I give God the glory again this morning. And thank him for another beautiful communion Sunday. We just thank God that he brought us thus far. And truly, he is true to his word. He has not failed. So I thank God for you, Pastor Kayson, and the Heart of God Baptist Church. And each and every member that God allowed to be a part of us, regardless of how you participate, we just grateful that you want to be a part of us. We thank God for you. Every word that you say is an encouragement, and I heard some voices that I hadn't heard in a while. Minister Jameson, so good to hear your voice. I look forward to your words of encouragement. So I miss you, and just want you to know that I miss you and some others. And I just thank God for the Heart of God Baptist Church family, that we have this fellowship. We have this time that we can talk and express our love for God and our love for one another. And I thank God for that. By the various ways he allowed us to do it, and I'm grateful for that. It strengthened us. It unites us. It makes us stronger as a church family. And so I thank God for my son and his wife and grandson and the other family members. And I'm so grateful this morning, and I thank God for Jesus who died for my sins, that I might have a right to the tree of life. And every day, we are challenged, and we go through something. But one thing we can rest assured, that God will never leave us, and he won't fail us. And so when we have these difficult times, we keep looking up to the cross, because we know that Jesus' blood was not shed in vain, but it was shed so that we would have victory, and we do have the victory. And I have one verse to leave with you all, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I thank God, because truly he has been my help and trouble who will not leave us. We will always have trouble as long as we live. But one thing we know for certain, God is a strong deliverer. God bless you all, and I love you.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. The last four digits, 7971. 7971, good morning.
On the line this morning, and I say glory be to God. Oh, give thanks to him, for he loves us. God loves us. Yes, he does. And he is so good. Yes, he is. He has blessed us tremendously. Sometimes I don't think we recognize how he blesses us when we don't even give it a second thought. We take it for granted that God is going to be there. And it's right now, there's been so many deaths of friends and our family and family members and neighbors and illnesses. Sometimes you wonder it, You can get depressed behind it, but you know that God's word in Ecclesiastes, it says, God predetermines the events of life. God predetermines the conditions of life. There's a time and a season for everything. And when you get into those kind of predicaments in your life and you turn to God's word and you see what he says for us to do as Christians, and for that, I give you, Pastor and First Lady, credit, because you all have been there for us, and you continue to be faithful to us. When I say us, I mean the church members, guiding us, leading us in God's word to let us know that we aren't in these situations by ourselves. God said he would send us a comforter, and he has, and he has. I want to thank First Lady for all of her encouragement. I'll thank you, Deacon Bryce, for your beautiful encouragement this morning. When you're down and things seem like there's no hope, and you get these kind of things from people that you know love you, that you know they know the Lord, it lifts you up. It gets you started on your way for the day. That's only a blessing for God, from God. And for that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart that we have a church, a loving church, a God-abiding church that keeps us lifted up each and every day. Thank you all. You all be blessed. Stay safe. And I love you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. House of God Church. Good morning, Pastor. First Lady. To God be the glory for the things that you all continue to do for our church and for us. In the name of the Lord. For God, he is so worthy to be praised, because he is good. And I'm going to continue to praise and serve him. I thank him for another Sunday. Thank him for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. Didn't feel too good last night and yesterday, but I feel fine this morning. Something about Sunday morning and hearing you all's voices and knowing that God is still reigning. So it was good. Reverend James, Minister Jameson, missed hearing you for a couple of Sundays, and was glad to hear your voice again this morning. So I just continue to thank God for his grace and his mercy. And Lord knows I thank him for my church and for my family, my sisters, my nieces, my nephews, my son and his wife, because they have been a blessing to me during this period. And I will pray. And I pray that you all will all forever stay in the word and that we'll do God's will. So be blessed, everyone, and I love you. Have a great day.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 2256, 2256. Good morning.
Good morning. I thank God for another beautiful day. Thank you, Pastor and First Lady. First Lady, for all your words of encouragement. I just appreciate you all. I love you. I can't thank God enough. I thank him for being my anchor, being my peace, just keeping me in my right mind. God is so good. Thank everybody for just coming on the line and fellowshipping with us. I'm so glad that we have the means to be able to fellowship with one another, even though we can't be in the building. I just thank God for making a way. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Thank God for everyone, their calls and their words of encouragement, and text and concern and prayers and all the ways that you express your love for each other and express your love toward God. Truly, it's a blessing. Thank God for every way that people tune in and give encouragement for our fellowship. And it's just a blessing. We thank you for all that you do. And we appreciate it so much. Before we go to the Word of God, I'm going to ask Deacon Bryce, will get ready to lead us in prayer, that we'll go to the Lord one more time. The old song says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And we are always standing in the need of prayer. And so we're just going to ask that we will pray for our children, our family and friends, extended family members. Pray for the bereaved families, the homeless families, the families that are struggling during this time of global pandemic. We just want to continue to pray for our neighbors and our leaders of the country all over this United States, all over every continent. We pray that God's blessing will be on all the churches that are open in the name of Jesus, and that the gospel message through the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to be able to go out, and that God would draw them unto him, and that the Son would make them free, and that the Holy Spirit would seal them until the day of redemption. So we thank God for there's no place on this globe that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, cannot reach. And so we pray for our men and women in uniform. Pray for all of our congressmen and women and senators, our president, vice president. We just want to continue to pray for our nation, that we will be a nation that truly seeks the face of God, and that we would be obedient to him, and that we would do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Deacon Bryce, yeah, listen to this prayer, please.
Good morning again. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you at this hour. First of all, just to say thank you again. Thank you for allowing us to be here, oh God. And then just thank you for being our God. Lord, we just thank you and we love you because you're worthy. You're worthy of all our praise, God. And we just thank you, God, for giving us this line where we can come on and fellowship and lift up your name, oh God. Father God, we thank you for all the people that have joined in, oh God. We ask that you bless them and keep them, oh God. Father God, we ask that you just bless mankind everywhere, oh God. Father God, we just pray for all the people who are lost, God, and need a Savior, God. We pray for them that they will find their way, oh God, that you will draw them in close, oh God. Father God, we just thank you, oh God. We thank you that you never left us, oh God. Father God, we pray for your people, Father God, all over the land, those who are homeless, oh God, and need shelter, oh God. Father God, we pray for those who do not have food to eat, oh God, that they will find sustenance. Someone will help them, Father God, and feed them, oh God. Father God, we thank you for just keeping us, oh God, keeping us in our right mind, oh God. Father God, we ask you just bless those bereaved families everywhere, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we just ask that you bless the leaders of our country, oh God. Father God, we pray for all our men and women in leadership, oh God. We pray for those who are on the battle line, oh God. Father God, that you will keep them, Father God. Keep them from harm, oh God. Father God, we pray for our senior citizens, oh God. We pray for our young people, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we pray that you will give those young people direction, oh God. Because some of them seem to be going their way instead of your way, oh God. So, Father God, we ask for leadership for the people who they look up to, oh God, that they would be making wise decisions and helping them out, oh God. Father God, we thank you that you never left us, oh God. Father God, we pray for those who may be hurting, Father God, that you will look in on them, oh God. Father God, we pray that you will look in the sick and shut in, oh God. Father God, and those who care for them, oh God, give them caring hearts, oh God, not just making a paycheck, oh God, but a caring heart, Father God. Father God, because some of them can't see their loved ones, oh God. So we need somebody to speak a kind word to them, oh God. And Lord, we thank you, oh God, for the ones who do care for them, Father God. We ask you to continue to strengthen them, oh God. And Father God, we just thank you for the love that you share with us, oh God, day in and day out, oh God. We thank you for the Savior, oh God, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father God, we know that we can't do anything without you, oh God. And we thank you. We just thank you for being there for us, oh God. We thank you for coming into our life, oh God. Father God, we thank you for us being here again to have communion one more time, oh God. We thank you. We thank you that we made it, oh God, another month, oh God, that we could fellowship with one another. And that we can commune with you, oh Lord. We just thank you and we love you, oh God. We thank you for just always being there. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us, oh God. And we just thank you, oh God. We thank you for being the rock that we need, oh God. We thank you for being our strong tower, oh God. And then, Lord, we ask that you bless Pastor, Father God. We bless him with your word, oh God. And Father God, we pray that it don't fall on deaf ears, oh God. Somebody's heart will be open, oh God. Their mind will be open, oh God. And then, Lord, that it will penetrate their heart, oh God. And they will say, I yield, what must I do to be saved, oh God? Father God, we just thank you, oh God. We thank you for your word that will come forth, oh God. We thank you that we can share communion with one another, God, again. And we love you, God. We adore you. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise, oh God. We on this day and every day, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. We thank you, Bryce, for fervent prayer. Thank God for everyone continuing to pray one for another. It's a blessing to be able to be recipient of answered prayer. Amen. It's important that on Sunday mornings, that we have corporate prayer as well as your daily devotion and prayer with God, because we know that's what Jesus did. And he set the example. He taught us how to pray. We knew when Jesus was walking this earth that he would pray to his Heavenly Father for strength, for direction, for guidance. And if it was good enough for Jesus, come on now. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for us. Amen. And so we encourage everyone to keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Your communication with God is vitally important. Our communication together with God is vitally important. And don't feel bad if you feel sometimes you don't have the word, because God has given us his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit will pray for us when we don't know what to pray. Ain't God all right? I said, hey, I know that's bad English. Double negative, but I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. Ain't God all right? Amen. And when we don't know what to pray for, as long as your heart is in tune with God and you are sincere, God's Holy Spirit will pray with us and pray for us. And that God knows, amen, what we need before we even ask for it. And so we thank God for being such an awesome, 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 awesome God. Amen. We're going to go to the Word of God today, and the Word of God comes to us today in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And we wanted to look in particular at the 12th chapter, but in your time of studying the word this week, I want you to use chapter 7 through 14. It's the account of when God saw it was time and it was fit for his people that were in bondage in Egypt to be delivered. And his famous confrontation with Moses that the 10 plagues would come upon the Egypt, land of Egypt, and that eventually God's people would be delivered from bondage out of Egypt. But every communion Sunday, you hear me make reference to the doorposts and the lintel of the place where God's people were dwelling, and that when the death angel, which was the 10th plague, would come, that angel would see the blood and pass over, and the people in that dwelling, the firstborn would be spared. Their life would be spared. So we thought that we want to ask the Spirit of God to guide us into speaking a little bit, preaching a little bit about this morning, about what actually transpired before and during this time. And so we invite you to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. I want to just read verses 21 and 22. But we'll go back and reference chapter 11 and some other verses in chapter 12, and then during the week or when you have some time in your study chapter 7 through 14. All right, I'll be reading Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 21 and 22. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And in verse 22 it says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. And we go down to verse 23. It says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And for a few moments this morning, we'd like to speak from the subject, are you covered in the blood? Are you covered in the blood? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege and another opportunity to stand and to declare your word. Father, I ask that you will forgive me of my sins, oh God, that you will be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, oh God, that I may be a pure vessel used by you. Oh God, that the sinners will be converted, the saints will be edified, and most of all, God, you would receive honor and glory to your name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we look at the Bible, many times we will see accounts where blood is mentioned and blood plays a part in purifying and covering the items and people are used by God in humanity. One of the first mentions of this type of covering is in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve had sinned, and by believing a lie of Satan, talked about that last Sunday. And because they believed that lie, when God told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they lost their relationship with God, and they spiritually became spiritually dead because they believed Satan over God. And when we look and see that there are consequences for being disobedient to God, that God knew that if he did not intervene, that man would part tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he would live in his sin forever, separated from God. His spiritual connection to God, his relationship with God would be eternally lost. And so what God did was he put a plan into effect to redeem man back to himself. The first Adam fell miserably, but through the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, amen, he would be able to be redeemed back into the proper spiritual relationship with God. Thus being back in relationship with God, able to have the proper relationship with his fellow mankind. And so what God would do throughout the history after the fall of man is that he would use innocent blood to cover the sins of man, or pay an atonement for the sins of man. And the Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement or forgiveness of sin. And so if we were to peek back real quick in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, but right before Exodus, we see what God did in order to cover the sin of Adam and Eve until he could bring into fruition the final or the permanent covering through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 22 of chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He says, therefore, in verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of life, the tree of life. And so what did God do before he drove him out? If you pop back up to verse 21, in verse 21 is key. It says, and Adam, unto Adam and also his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. In other words, God took the life of an innocent animal, shed the blood of an innocent animal, took the skin of an innocent animal, and clothed Adam and Eve. In other words, there was a sacrifice made of innocent animal to shed innocent blood to cover for the sins of Adam and Eve. And then God said, I would cover them and I would move them out of the Garden of Eden because they would take of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so I put them out until he can make final atonement through the Passover lamb of Jesus Christ. And so this is God's plan to cover, to pay, to atone man over man's sin, is through the shedding of innocent blood. The shedding of innocent life atones for the sins of mankind. And so in Genesis, the third chapter, and at verse 21, we see the first accounting of a shedding of innocent blood, shedding of innocent life, atone for the sins of mankind. And so if we go back over to the book of Exodus and we look at chapter 11 of the book of Exodus, we see where Moses was getting ready to claim on Egypt the 10th plague. And there were plagues that came before that were indicative of God letting humanity know that he was trying to get their attention and trying to get them to turn away from their wicked ways, from the sins of the world. And they were some grievous plagues, but there was none more grievous, serious than the death of a man, particularly the death of the firstborn. And so here in the 11th chapter, we see that God is getting ready to have Moses to proclaim the 10th plague, but there were nine more before them. And if you begin at that chapter 7 and work your way through chapter 11, you will see these plagues. Some of those plagues were exclusive to Egypt, and some included the Egyptian and the Israelites. And as you read through, you'll see those. And the first plague was the water was turned to blood. The second one was frogs, and the third one was lice, and the fourth one was flies, and fifth one was disease of livestock. The sixth and seventh was boils and hail and fire, and locust and darkness was the ninth plague. And all of these things that God would do to show that he wanted to get man's attention and that he was God, and the attempts of the Egyptian sorcerers to duplicate God's plagues fell short, because only God can perform these things, and they were found had shortcomings when they tried to produce these plagues to try to say that this wasn't God speaking, that this was something man could do or duplicate. But God showed him through his servant Moses that God was trying to get their attention. And my brothers and sisters, every year when things occur in the world, people ask me, and they, some of them know, you're a pastor, you're a Christian, you're a preacher. What does this mean? And what does this mean? Or what does that mean? And we always refer them to the Word of God, and we let them know that God says that no man knows the day nor the hour. Well, people will say, is this the end of the world? And are people that never read the Bible start going back to the Bible and trying to figure out, is this the end of the world? And Jesus clearly let us know, no man knows the day nor the hour but the Father. And I tell them that we shouldn't be overly concerned with these things, but we should be concerned with our relationship with God, because these things are going to come, sort of like what we're going through now with the 17 year brood of cicadas. I know some of you have experienced them. One flew into someone's hair, and one flew into someone's trash can, and one flew into someone's garage, and it was just like 17 years ago. If you're over 17, or you can remember, like that 17 years ago, where all the cicadas are around the doors, and they're making these hums, and they were coming through the ground, and they had the carcasses or their shells on the ground, and it was just a big swarm and a big mess, and it happens every 17 years, and it comes, and people start saying, is this the end of the world? Is this and this, and people see volcano went out, erupted last night, I believe it was in Uganda, and you see the earthquakes and the floods, and you see the wars and rumors of wars with Israelis fighting against the Palestinians, and the different wars around the world, and this great global pandemic that has gripped the world for the last going on year. And all of these things that come, and all of these things that get our attention, and all the things that cause us to wonder what's happening to the world, all the things that happen that are not normal. When Moses showed up and the water turned to blood, and the frogs and the lice and the gnats and the locusts and the hail with fire on the ground, and all of these darkness, and all of these things with livestock and boils on people, and all these things God allows to happen to get people's attention, because it's outside the norm of humanity. And so because God has done these things seem as supernatural, and so people begin to wonder, amen, how these things are happening and what is the cause of these things happening. So the Egyptians tried to equate them to the gods of Egypt, that the gods would be able to be named and controlled by man. But God, through Moses, showed them that their gods, their little g's, could not control or could not do the things that only the God, the true and living God, can do. And so we find ourselves in the eve of chapter 11 of Moses getting ready to proclaim the 10th plague on the Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And every time he said he would let God's people go to be delivered from the bondage of slavery of Egypt, from the power and the penalty of being in Egypt, he would harden his heart and he would relent and go back to his old ways. In other words, he didn't have a truly repentant spirit, a truly repentant heart. And so he would continue his brutality. And so in this 11th chapter, which is a short chapter that leads into the 12th chapter, it lets us know that God is preparing his people to be delivered, to be spared from this 10th plague of death. And so we'll read a little bit about it. He talks to Moses and he said, at midnight, I want you to do this because I want you to be prepared when the death angel comes. In other words, I want you to be prepared to be delivered. I want you to be prepared because the end of this reign of Egypt, the end of this bondage to the Pharaoh of Egypt is coming to an end. And so what I want you to do is I want you to be prepared. And in being prepared, I want you to get the people together, explain to them what they need to do. Then I want you to cover, I want you to kill an innocent animal. I want you to take that blood, and I want you to take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. The lintel is the top frame of the door frame. And when you do this, you will be covered in the blood. And so when the death angel of the 10th plague, the destroyer, the Bible says, comes and sees this, what will happen is he will understand that by faith you have taken the necessary step to be covered by the blood that God said, amen, would be a covering for you to be able to be passed over and be spared from the power and the penalty of the death angel that would come upon the firstborn whose houses were not covered in the blood. And so quickly, if we go to chapter 11, we'll see how Moses was instructed to prepare them. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, chapter 11, verse 1, yet will I bring one plague more unto Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, ye shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor's jewels and silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egypt. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land, Egypt, in the sight of the Pharaoh's servant and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh shall sit it upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout the land, Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that he may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. All these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, all the people, and follow thee. After that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses said, and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel of the land. So that was the background of God saying, this is what's going to happen. And he was letting them know that this was the end, and that he was going to allow the death angel to smite the Egyptians. But the people of God would be spared because they would be covered in the blood. And so in chapter 12, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be, which is the beginning of month, it shall be the first month of the year. Speak ye to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, there shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head, his legs, and with curtains thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, that which remaineth, or until the morning ye shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girt, your shoes on, in your hand. In other words, what God's saying is, I'm getting ready to do something, and you guys are getting ready to check out of Egypt. So I want you to put the doorposts in the lintel, the blood on the doorpost in the lintel. I want you to eat the bread that is unleavened, that symbolizes sin. Leaven symbolizes sin. So I want you to be purified. I want you to be ready. I want you to have your shoes on. I want you to have your coat on. I want you to be ready that when the Lord makes his move and the death angel comes, that you all be ready to get out of bondage, amen, from the sin, the power, and the penalty of Egypt. But God is letting them know that you got to be prepared to be delivered. And my brothers and sisters, when you understand God's word, you can be prepared to be delivered. And the reason and the way that you can be prepared to be delivered is to follow God's word to the T, to follow what God says of how you can be delivered. And he said that you can be delivered, amen, by being covered in the blood. This is what he's saying to the Israelites. This is what he said to Adam and Eve. This is what he's saying to those that are in this world today, that there is a blood covering, but you got to be prepared with this blood covering in order to be delivered from the power and the penalty of the destroyer or of sin. Let us continue in chapter 12 and verse 11. And thus said ye, eat with your loins gird, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, this is what I talk about every communion Sunday, that Jesus desired to eat the Passover with them for the last time. In other words, this was instituted by Moses until the time Jesus, our Passover lamb. Jesus, the one who stood in where every year they would have to do this. Every year they would have to kill an animal. Every year they would observe the Passover. When Jesus came in the new covenant or the new promise in the New Testament, he said that he has become our Passover lamb. He has become the one who shed his blood once and for all. And so when we look at verse 12 of chapter 12, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. And he says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. In other words, if you want to be delivered, if you want to be spared from the power and the penalty of God, you need to trust in the I am the Lord. In verse 13, he says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon houses where you are. And when I see the blood, come on now, he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This is the background, amen, of the blood covering. This is the background of the Old Testament. This is the background until Jesus became our Passover. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, fifth chapter and verse 7, it speaks of Jesus being the Passover. And when you understand that God had put this plan in a long time ago, when God understood that there had to be innocent shedding of life, that he was leading to his son Jesus being the ultimate life that was sacrificed, the ultimate life that shed the blood. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so the New Testament talks about, amen, Jesus becoming our Passover. That he is the lamb that is slain before the foundations of the world. That he is the one that shed his blood. That he was the one that presented his body and his blood to the Father. He was the one that presented his blood. And when we by faith believe in him, when we begin to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead because he satisfied, amen, the price that had to be paid for the remission of sin. When we believe that, that prepares us, amen, for the death angel, amen, that is coming, amen, upon this world. And so what happens is we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, and God says you shall be saved. And so what happens is God allows us, amen, to be covered in this covenant, to be covered in the blood of Jesus, to be covered in the power of the blood of Jesus. And so when the death angel comes, amen, when God comes for this world to deliver his people who believe him and rapture them out of this world, when the tribulation period comes, when great desolation and the seven seals of this world get unreleased or released and broken open, and the book of Revelation talk about it, these things will be more devastating than the plagues that Egypt experienced in the Old Testament. But just like God's people had to be prepared in the Old Testament by being covered in the blood, by having the blood covering over the doorpost and the lintels. We in the new covenant, under the new promise, need to also be prepared to be delivered from the tribulation period when the seven sealed judgments will be open and placed upon this earth, and that we would be raptured when the God that we serve, who is the great I am that I am, cracks the sky and halts and calls the church to himself. And those who had gone on before us will be those that caught, and they will not sleep, but they will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and they shall get up first, and they shall meet the Savior in the air. And those of us that remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And these are the ones who have been prepared by the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones that are covered, that have believed, that have been obedient. The Word of God says that we should watch and pray, and that no man knows the day nor the hour, so we should be ready. Amen. At the moment, knows when God cracks the sky. Moses told them that at midnight, the death angel was going to come, and the death angel came, and those who did not have the blood, those who were not covered by the blood in the Old Testament, that did not have the blood covering of the innocent animal that was slain, amen, that had the blood close, the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. When the death angel came, there was a great cry because those who were not covered in the blood had death in their families, the firstborn of those in that land, and then the livestock, amen, were killed by the death angel, and there was great pain and there was great agony at that time because they were not covered in the blood. And so what God wants us to understand is that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not have to perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, you don't have to face the power and the penalty of the destination of Satan and his fallen angels and those that don't believe, that will be cast into hell and in hell into the lake of fire, all because you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, the shed blood that makes an atonement for your sin and my sin, the blood that came down on Calvary's cross, the blood from the crown of thorns that were placed on his head, the blood from the nails that were placed in his hand and his feet, the blood that came from when he was pierced in his side, the blood that ran down. The songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. The song that we sang earlier, that was power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. And I'm here to ask the question today, amen, will you be prepared to see Jesus just like when the death angel came at midnight in the Old Testament, and he came and he saw those that were covered in the blood and he left them alone? Will you be covered in the blood today, amen? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. The chorus said there's power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But the question still goes out, are you covered in the blood? People are concerned about plagues, and people are concerned about volcanoes, and people are concerned about the weather and the hail and the tornadoes and climate change. People are concerned about vaccines and concerned about pandemics of COVID-19, but we ought to be concerned about pleasing the great I am that I am. When Moses went to deliver and God's word to the Egyptians, and he said, who shall I tell him? He tell him that I am. And if they ask you, tell them that I am that I am. In other words, God is everything that we need. If we need a deliverance from being sick in our body, the I am will deliver. If you need a deliverance, amen, from any type of disease, the I am will deliver it. And the ultimate thing that we need to be delivered from, my brothers and sisters, that if we are burdened by the power and the penalty of sin, I am has sent his only begotten son. His name is Jesus. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Are you covered in the blood? If you've been covered in the blood, you don't have to worry about when he cracks the sky and calls us from labor to reward that we get left behind. But we'll simply say to the enemy, I'm covered in the blood.
When you thought me had you, you had me bound by sin, and you thought me couldn't, that I couldn't make it. When you said that I was everything but a child of God, and every time I mess up, you tell me how bad I am, but you tell them, I'm covered in the blood. If you tell them that I've come up short and I didn't always do right, you tell them I'm covered in the blood. When you, he tries to point his finger and say, but he messed up on that day, or she messed up on that day, you simply tell them it's covered in the blood. When they try to tell you about your past and what you did in your past, you tell them it's covered in the blood. When the doctors try to tell you you can't get well, you tell them it's covered in the blood. And you are his stripes, by his stripes I'm healed. If you don't heal me on this side, come on somebody, he still got it covered in the blood. And one day, good God Almighty, one day we're going to have to leave this old world and all the plagues and all the pandemics and all the problems and all the hate and all the death. We're going to leave it behind. And how do you leave it behind? You leave it behind like those folks in Egypt land, when they had their clothes and their shoes on and they ate the unleavened bread, and they was in a position where they was getting ready. They was getting ready to go because they were covered in the blood. When the death angel came and killed all of Pharaoh's folk, because they were covered in the blood, they were able to be delivered from the power of the enemy. Have I got a witness today? Because they were prepared and they were covered in the blood, they were delivered out of the land and the slavery of Egypt. Fast forward to today, because you are covered in the blood, look at somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that I'm covered in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. And when it comes time to be delivered from this world, I won't have to worry about anything holding me back, because I'm covered. I say I'm covered. I'm covered in the precious blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad today that God's got you covered? I'm glad today that God came down through 40 and two generations. He went to Calvary's cross. Aren't you glad today that he shed his blood, that he hung his head and died? But he didn't stay there. He went down in the grave. And early, great God Almighty, because the blood had it covered, early, because he printed his blood in the presence of God the Father, God accepted the sacrifice. And early on Sunday morning, just like the Egyptians found out early at midnight that God delivered him, early on Sunday morning, God got up by the power of his blood. He got up with all power in his hand. He had the keys of death and hell in the grave. He delivered us. No more power, no more penalty, no more guilty stain, because there's power, 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 power. I'm going to leave that alone. Power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. The question is, do you got your shoes and your loins covered? Do you got the unleavened? Have you purified yourself? So when the Lord comes back, he'll see the blood covering over you. He'll be able to deliver you. The power and the penalty of sin, because you're covered, covered, covered. Look at somebody and say, I'm covered. People walking about plagues and hurricanes and pandemics and all these things that are going on in the world. You better be concerned about being covered in the blood, because these things going to come. These things going to come, they're going to go. But when that final plague come, you want to be in that rapture. You want to be delivered. You want to be taken out of that final seven seal
judgment that's coming upon this earth. Get a chance. Go back and read Exodus 7 through 14 and show you how they got ready and they got out of there. And it was because they were covered. They were obedient to God, and they were covered in the blood of an innocent lamb, a goat that shed its blood, and they were obedient to God. That's what's going to happen with us. Once we're covered and deal with all the stuff that comes, don't get depressed, don't get down. Somebody tell you about another thing bad happened, tell you about another person died. As long as they're covered in the blood, as long as they were covered in the blood, they're going to be all right. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, let's give him some praise. Let's give him some honor. Let's give him some glory. If you're covered in the blood of the Lamb, tell him that's all right. It's covered. It's covered in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Isn't that good news? That's awesome news. And I thank God for just allowing us, amen, to have these examples in this word that we would understand. Amen. The most important thing for us to do is with even our heart confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we shall be saved. We believe Jesus, he died for the sins of the world. He shed his blood. He paid that price to God. So there's no atonement without the sacrifice, the shedding of blood, and that his blood atoned for your sins and mine. Amen? For the sins of the world. But you got to apply it. You got to apply it. It's like those in Egypt. You got to claim it. You got to do what he said. You got to put it on your doorpost and your lintel. We got to do it, put it on our hearts. Amen. Leave it in our hearts, confess with our mouth. Amen. Covered in that blood. Amen. Everybody talking about this, that, and the other pandemic, shot, vaccine. Ain't going to make a whole lot of difference. You take it or you didn't take it, got the virus or you didn't get the virus. If you're in this world today, you're going to get to a point, amen, where God's going to call you from labor to reward. Whether you had chicken pox, whether you had measles, whatever. If you believed in the vaccine, you didn't believe in the vaccine. If you're not covered in the blood, Lord have mercy. Amen. That ain't going to make a hill of beans. Amen. Amen. So make sure you're covered in the blood. Amen. Pray to God. Ask you what you're going to do with if the plagues or whatever you're going to do with the pandemic or the vaccine. You pray and ask God to give you direction. But the most important thing, amen, is that you pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And cover you with his blood. So when he comes back, amen, and cracks that sky, amen, you'll be covered and escape the power and the penalty of sin of this world. Amen. Amen. God bless you this afternoon. We want to get ready to observe our communion. Amen. And many times you, like I say, you hear me. Talk about Jesus observing the Passover for the final time, getting ready to observe the Passover for the final time, and instituting a new covenant in his blood. And that's in that 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, and that's verses 23 and 24 and 25. And when you go down to that last verse 34, it talks about the new covenant of the New Testament in his blood. And so as we prepare for our communion in the fifth month in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, we look back on the Old Testament and that old covenant or that old Passover. And we'll have better perspective when we go back and we're taught and we see where these things come in. And so when people are talking about the Passover and Jesus observing it for the last time, you stand and you know the implications and what was going on. And so we can observe what Jesus left on record in the new covenant with greater understanding, greater appreciation. So let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to another communion service. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have clarity and understanding about the shedding of blood from the beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through your final atonement through your son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood. And so, Father, as we come to this communion, we pray that you would bless this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken, that you would bless this cup of the fruit of the vine that symbolizes your blood that was shed. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was preparing to observe the Passover for the last time, and he sat down with his disciples. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat ye all of it in remembrance of me. Let us eat together." And in like manner, after they had supped, he took the cup of the fruit of the vine. And he said, "This is the new covenant and the new promise in my blood. Often as you drink, you drink it in remembrance of me. It's shed for the remission of sin, for the remission of sin of me. Let us drink together." God, praise God, praise God. And the record doesn't give an indication of a benediction, but they simply sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. You go out into your Mount of Olives. Remember to sing that song, amen, the power in the blood. Let everyone you know, amen, be covered in the blood, and they should be too. And when this time comes, and this world comes to an end, God cracks the sky and calls us from labor to reward. So we want to be ready and we want to be covered. We want to be like those Egyptians. Have your stuff ready, have you prepared. They had shoes, coats on. They were purified. They were ready to go. Ready to go. Amen. And we should be also. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. Prayer, we'll see you again on next Sunday. Have a great day.